You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 14. The love of Christ constrains us, because it thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. And all things are of God, which hath reconciled himself by Jesus Christ, given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you of us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word, and this grace from Christ Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, Father God, again, we want to call just for this little while. Thank you for the privilege that we have here and for your continuous grace toward us. We pray now you'd be pleased to shut us in here as you make us what you want us to be. Cleanse us and sanctify us to your purpose. We pray, Lord, that your great Son would be honored to be pleased to remove evil and to bring us unto yourself in a way whereby we can be a vessel fitted for blessing. We thank you for tending to the things that be necessary in this grace, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. In our text this morning, you'll notice it's the love of Christ, that's what it should be, let me put it that way, which constrains us to be whatever we're involved in, and it's God. And it's best, of course, demonstrated in the life of Christ himself, which manifests the love of God in the ministry of his grace. And to begin with the fact that we all are even, as far as God is concerned, but we're all dead, apart from Christ anyway. Therefore, we need the infusion of his life to make our life brand new. It's interesting to me that preachers use this text sometimes to tell us that when you get saved, old things pass away and all of them become new. But you know that's not true. What is he talking about? You see, it says we've known Christ after the flesh, but now we don't know any man after the flesh. Not even him. Why? Well, because our ministry of our Lord after the flesh was a very limited ministry. It was to none save the lost sheep of Israel. Very selective, very inclusive. Henceforth, we don't know him. We know him on a much larger scale. Notice, not limited as it was in the days of his flesh. Therefore, if any man, that's all there is, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And so, many, many saints, I'm sure, have seen this verse and said, well, if little things have passed away, my life sure don't testify to that fact. The issue is some of the grave clothes do drop off little by little. But I've been here longer than most of you, and it hasn't dropped nor me yet. I know I still got a lot of those same traits I always had. They haven't passed away. They're very real. They haunt me constantly. So the only thing that's passed away was the very limited ministry of our Lord, which none said above. It's not true today. God is not dealing with any nation today. He's dealing with individual people. But He chose from the foundation of the world all new. When you hear a preacher tell you that all things pass away, everything becomes new, I tell you, that's a shock. It's in it. There's much more that our Lord was involved in than just our salvation. His ministry was to reconcile the word world here is the cosmos. That means the order and the arrangements. For instance, when the astronauts traveled to the moon, they had to carry their own food, had to carry their own water, had to be clothed, unique clothing, in order to survive in that atmosphere. Why? Because that cosmos is dead. That order of things passed away. You cannot sustain life. You have to carry it. Down here, everything is sustained because turn to 1 John. Just to dispel some of the rumors we hear nowadays. In chapter 4, testify that Father sent the Son to be Savior of the cosmos, the arranged orders. And the word sent here is the same word translated also in Acts 8, which said he sent from Gentiles. Not the common word to send, but to be pimple. This word is apostello, which is the verb form of the noun apostle, which means a heaven of place of commission. Our Lord has been commissioned to serve this cosmos. And let me assure you that not anything will happen down here. He doesn't want, he's not going to do that. He's not going to allow man to destroy the cosmos, the range of the world. Not even the nuclear blast. So don't worry about being doomed. We're talking about that. God has commissioned the Lord Jesus Christ to see that that doesn't happen. It isn't that man wouldn't, could. God just will not allow it. Now, this ministry of reconciliation, notice it is a ministry of the grace of God toward all men, not any, not limited. But if all were dead, then all can be made alive in Christ because of the resurrection. And we're ambassadors to that end. Now, Paul writing about his own conversion, 1 Timothy, turn there, in chapter 1. Grace of our Lord is exceedingly abundant, faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. It's the faith and saying worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I was the leader. Howbeit, For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, keep in mind the subject matter, grace, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. What do you mean? In Matthew 12, I'll just refer back to it, you can look it up. Our Lord was accused of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the devil. And our Lord warned the leaders at that time. He said, all manner of sin will be forgiven except the sin against the Lord, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It cannot be done. And Paul had just done that. Seventh chapter of Acts. Turn to when he made mention of that fact, the appearance of the glory of God shown through his face. It says, "Behold, then they cried out loud voice, and stopped the ears. They didn't want to hear him." And they ran upon him and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes, and the young man escaped in the name of the Lord. Now turn to chapter 9 of Acts. Paul journeying toward Damascus, verse 3. Came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said unto him, I am Jesus, persecuted. It's hard to thee to kick against the pricks. What he did willfully, knowing, seeing, to the extent that he even stopped his ears up so he wouldn't hear him. Paul had committed the unpardonable sin. God said, I'd like Paul writes about this after the close of Acts. What had really happened? He said, true enough, I was the leader of all the insurrections against Christ. That word chief means protos, it means the first in line. He was the leadership of the insurrection against Christ. He committed the worst of us. God, in his gracious mercy, looked down and apprehended that fellow. He overruled his own reading. What a sovereign grace. Turn to 1 Peter just a minute. 1 A lot of people ask, what's the unpardonable sin? God is overruled. With what?
Grace.
That you wouldn't be separate. Now notice, this was always a puzzle. Even in the Old Testament, when we read about the grace of God, it was a puzzle. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. This salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently to prophesy of the grace that should come unto you, and searching what? Is what the grace was. And two, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ is in them did signify and testified beforehand to the sufferings of Christ. Two things of the prophets. One, what was this grace that the prophets prophesied about? He didn't understand it. You see, you can't mix strange thing, preacher, they don't seem to understand. You can't mix grace and water and oil. I mean, in law. No more than you mix oil and water. But today they don't know. They don't understand. They try to mix them all the time. They won't mix. They're separate. And the prophets couldn't understand them. Why? Learn the law. They wouldn't know why they could understand. And they searched diligently trying to understand them. Now Paul is the pattern. I wrote this right a while ago. He was the pattern. So with Paul's conversion, God began to deal with the sovereign grace. Go back now to 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. Paul was between a rock and a hard place. He was a very unique man. It took the grace of God to do with him like no other man ever did. Verse 20. Verse 20. The Jews, I'm a king of the Jews. Paul lived, don't misunderstand, Paul lived under the law as a Jew. He kept all the Jewish feasts. You see in Ephesus, he had his head shown with a bow. He came to Jerusalem ready to offer a blood sacrifice for purification. He was ready to go all the way. See, this is the perplexing thing about the book of Acts. You have two administrations running parallel. You have an administration of the Gentiles who had never had anything promised to them apart from him. And God dealing with them, sorry. And he was dealing with you that way too. But they didn't know that. Paul knew it. Living a life between a rock and a hard place. Look here. The Jew, I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. Them that are under the law is under the law. That I might gain them that are under the law. Them that are without the law is without law. Being not without law to God, but in law. Not under, but in law. We're relatives. Okay. They got. To the weak, I became weak. That I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. I do this for the gospel's sake that I might be saved. See, that the day that Paul was converted, God began to deal with his sovereign grace. Had he not, Israel would have been cut off right then. But as you read the 7th chapter of Acts, you find that Stephen, as life left his body, he cried out for Israel, just like our Lord did on the tree. Father, forgive him. Lay not this evil deed to their charge. And you know, it says the Lord was standing. A lot of people thought that he stood all the time. He didn't. Our Lord went to heaven. He sat down. The first martyr, dying as he did, and all that glory. Our Lord stood up. What did he stood up for? Welcome home. That's what he stood up for. And one day, that man stepped. Not a lot said about him, but enough to know he is one of the hired. He'll be up there. And you see, he's got a front row seat too. Be right there. So that every one of us today are up for God's grace. Paul is the pattern. Paul writes about this after Israel was cut off in the first temple. You see, the mystery that we refer to that God unveiled after Israel was set aside in Acts 28 is that aspect of God's grace that we see never made known, but well demonstrated all through the book of Acts and Israel. Paul's conversion. See, with Israel, the mercies of God were still extended here through the Acts 28. The Gentile who had no promises, disciples apprehended him, he was put forth. The book is reversed. Yes. Now, there is no such thing as law. It's all grace. All of us. Every one of us has been apprehended just like Paul. Because somewhere in our life, we have allayed the work of God to things not part of it. Yet, we have not acknowledged those things. This is Israel. So that every act of God today is a gracious act, and he has limited himself to that dispensation of grace, even the secret, which has been hidden from the age. Now, you and I are the recipients. So that we have a ministry to reconcile all people, because all are dead. Everyone. No such thing, good man, alive man, they're all dead. And this is the ministry we have. And those who would try to scare us that God's going to pour down and destroy this planet and all that, you don't have to worry about it. Because right along with this reconciliation, our Lord is commissioned to preserve us. There's no such thing as man destroying this planet. Now, show you how that commission was carried out even in the nation of slaves. That word sent means the commission. You remember the experience that the disciples had in the Lake of Galilee? Our Lord was asleep in the boat. One of those storms came up and the boat was about to sink. And they shaped him and he was about to sleep. Master, what do you think whipped up that storm? That's right. And we learn about that in Corinthians chapter 4. He's the God not of this world, this is translated, the God of these things. He cannot be the God of the cosmos. He is the God of these things. This is what they're going to be studying about this tonight in verse 6. But he is the God of this age, because mankind has sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. That's why he's the God of this age. But he's not the God of the cosmos. Make no mistake about that. All of our been commissioned to see that doesn't happen. But you have incidents where that little demons do raise havoc in the local scene. And if it were not for God's commissioning of our Lord, the other this said to be really written to somebody. Did you ever know the storm don't last very long? They're cut off in the earth. Why? Because he's the preserver of the cosmos. Allow that. Be no doomsday until God gets one. Now, God, let me put it this way. God gets ready to destroy this planet. He'll do the job. Then leave a fire. We're told how to do it. You and I don't have to worry about that. That's ages down the road anyway. But we don't have to worry about that. Our Lord is our mission. See, we learn a lot of things about him as we grow in grace. His salvation did not only just save you and I, it saved this universe. The scientific world has to learn that lesson too. Every experiment that they perform, they are not allowed. They're not even allowed to fool with the natural laws that hold this universe. And once a scientist does observe disrespect one of those laws, he creates a tragedy. It's been tried. And every time it does, it ends in a great big boom. You cannot deny these things that God has established. That's part of the cosmos. You don't destroy the balance of God's life. learned anything. And God has other laws than just natural laws that control the universe. He has laws that are operative in your life and my life. They're called moral laws. They're called spiritual laws. And when we defy them and break them, as a man so shall he be born. They work. Sometimes it works slow, but they work. Nobody gets away with it. We can hit this one. It's being ridiculous, but I remember that he says you can't cheat an honest man. And you can't. If you do, you're going to pay the piper all day. You cannot get away with it. Nobody gets away with it. It should be a very sober mark. But you know what? We are the ministers of God to carry this message to the world. At home, Calvary, everything accomplished to secure this universe, to bring into life dead men, not only to bring to life, but to bring to life dead men to be exalted above every creature. This is what the ministry is of. That's our great commission. Not what you hear being taught through. This is our commission. And listen carefully to the word, you know, you can't miss it. And so that you can rest assured of what God wants out of you. Verses 18 and 19. All things are out of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, given to us the ministry of reconciliation, is what it is. With that God in Christ reconciling the cosmos unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, but committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We're ambassadors. Our citizenship exists even now in heaven. We're here as ambassadors of God to tell the world that God has reconciled all things and that all the dooms there are whistling Dixie. It's not going to happen. Because our Lord died for all the dead. We're all dead. If you want to have any assurance that tomorrow will be here right on schedule, then you need to get the plan of one control, one information, serve this guy. We think about our calling and just to get people saved, and that certainly is a big part of it. But you see, this is a much broader ministry than that. You're an ambassador in a foreign country, and you're here as an ambassador, a witness, a representative. Testified to the faithfulness of God in all of things, the cosmos, every word is under His control. Not what people say, but what really is. We need to learn the lessons that these laws that God has set up, He's in control of, operate. How well you find it out when you get older. Now, if you do operate, nobody gets away with it. And yet everything is justified. But God never does anything wrong. He always does the right thing. This is our ministry today. The former limitations that God had prior to the unveiling of His grace are now our first one. And we're to make all people see that God is dealing in sovereign grace everywhere. The last word that the Apostle Paul wrote, Timothy, and we're going to close that 2 Timothy 3. To get the setting of this statement, you have to appreciate Timothy's position. Timothy was in Ephesus. This was the place where the heart of the ministry of the Apostle Paul went throughout all the Asia. And he said, keep this in mind as he writes Timothy there. You can see the predicament that Timothy's in. He said, verse 15, thou knowest that all the Asia turned away from thee. He named two men the leader of that insurrection. In the preceding verses, he said, verse 8, I like that. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prison. Be thou partaker of these afflictions according to the power of God. And you can see in verse 7 that there was no spirit of fear in the assembly of Nicholas. God reminds him that God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what? If you don't have that, you see, there's no reason why we shouldn't be at peace. The world may be out of kilter, but we don't have to. God's in control. He's in control of your life. And if you're His child, He has a plan for you. That's why we read in Ephesians 2, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, done to Him. Which he had before marked off and ordained that we should walk. It's all laid out. It's in our rebellion that we don't enjoy the walk and the salvation he's proclaimed for us. We have nothing to fear. Death may be on all sides of it, but the closest thing we'll get to it is just a shadow. Even the psalmist knew that. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow. Trusting all the way. I like that song we had this morning. Trusting in Him. Faith may be weak, but if you can lay hold of His faith, you can trust Him all the way. That's what the ministry of salvation is all about. That God is in Christ. And the reason it was because look at the last verse of great love and all of us. Timothy. Last verse. Because the Father made the Son sin. Let that take hold of you. The one who knew no sin. All this was done in order that His righteousness could be imputed to me. Just as my sin was imputed to Him, to as many as received Him, His righteousness was imputed to me. That's the measure of salvation. That's the message we have for the world. Then once we have given that to the world, we're to make all of God's people. What is this dispensation? This sacred secret. It's been referred to. And it can help back us, not the world. This is the message of the world. That God is ministering His reconciliation to the world. But now to those who come into the family, we're to make them see also what is the dispensation of this sacred secret. It's hidden in God, not in us. Father, thank you for the word and for the fellowship you call us to. For the hope and the assurance of your great faithfulness. God, help us to appreciate this morning in a fresh way that we may worship you in spirit and truth. Help now in the business meeting. It's your grace for Christ Jesus' sake. In the name of Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.